Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Atomic Drop Show, live on Blog Talk Radio, your number one source for wrestling news, interviews, and analysis.
You better listen to this.
It's just the slash of the slicer, the dicer, the ripper, the sweater, the love taker, the money maker, the honey shaker. God,
the rock superstar chaos.
Sid Vicious.
The hardcore homo angel.
This is Jimmy Jacobs, and you're listening to the Atomic Drop Radio Show.
You can be part of the show by calling in at area code 646-915-9116.
Checking it out as my ear is tuned in and my body feels the pains of the slams and the chops. I'm sitting here on the Atomic Drop Show, ready to kick some butt. GQ Money here, repping it on Atomic Drop Show. Tune in.
And now, here are your hosts, Justin Todd and Kyle Cruz.
You little punk-ass thieves.
We are just 24 hours removed from the rebirth, the rekindling of the 2010 Monday Night Wars, and this is the place where we talk all about it. This is the Atomic Drop Show. My name is Kyle Cruz, flying solo tonight as Justin Time is in parts unknown, and I couldn't get a hold of Jake Gordis, so he's in parts unknown as well. So I'm here running the show by myself, and because I'm going to extend a special guest co-host slot to you, the listeners, whomever can call in, who wants to just chat about what happened last night in the Monday Night Wars, you can go ahead and call us up. Once again, the number is area code 56, excuse me. I'm sorry to give up my own personal phone number right there. It's not the phone number. The phone number is area code 646-915-9116. Once again, that number is area code 646-915-9116. We're going an hour tonight, and hopefully we can get some callers to chat, see what all you guys thought about the Monday Night Wars last night. WWE Raw against TNA Impact. There was a lot of hype, but, you know, there's always been a lot of build-up as far as, you know, people wanting to see competition on a Monday night, and I was one of them. I'm going to say this outright. Before the night even started, last night I went on my Facebook, and I posted a status update, and I'm going to pull that up right now. I said, okay, yeah. It was about an hour away from the show, and I even said, on the East Coast, we're just 1 hour away from the first chapter in the WWE versus TNA war, which could be the single greatest letdown in cable history since the series finale of The Sopranos. Yep, I said it. And the reason why I said that is because of this. TNA, ever since January 4th, you know, TNA fans and everybody in the wrestling was basically saying, you know what, let's just go for it. If there's any time to strike against WWE, now is the time. They had that very, very, very hot January 4th show, and then they went really, really downwards in a really quick time. I believe they scored, a 1.5 total rating on that Monday night with the debut of Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff on CNN, plus, like, I think like 10 or 11 other surprise appearances that night. But Hulk Hogan was the main draw there, where he was making his TNA debut, and they scored a 1.5 total rating and a 1.7 unopposed rating. But it's like now, when you look at this show, at least for the last couple of weeks going into the show, you watched Impact, and there was more of the same silly storylines, not a lot of in-ring action as much as people really want to see, considering how great the TNA roster is. And there was this whole Hulk Hogan Abyss Madness and all that character and stuff that I just don't like at all. And when you factor all of that in on a consistent basis, TNA was drawing extremely low numbers. In fact, I think the last Thursday Impact last week, I think it got a 1.1, if I'm being nice here. I think it was like either a 1.0 or a 1.1. And going into last night, it's like, of course, it would be totally naive for anybody in TNA to think that they're going to you know, even come close to what Raw was going to get. But I thought that they were going to, you know, get in between a 1.5 and a 1.7 again, you know, so some more of, you know, some more of the same ratings that they would have had on fourth, because they had, you know, they were teasing some surprises. They said that something big was going to go down in the first 5 minutes of the show, which, by my count, didn't happen, but they were teasing that. Plus, everybody knew that Rob Van Dam was going to be making his debut, at least all the internet fans knew. Plus, we saw Sting and Jeff Hardy in this big tag team match, which was the only consistent thing that they've been building up on Impact over the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. It was Abyss and Hulk Hogan against Ric Flair and AJ Styles. And just about, oh, I guess about an hour ago, the ratings officially came out for this version of the Monday Night Wars. Week one wasn't even close, folks. WWE Raw scored a 3.4 television cable rating, and that's not bad, but they were down considerably what they were last week and a few weeks ago as well, especially with the big angle with Bret Hart and the huge, huge hype and build up towards the Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels match. There was that. That was Raw, 3.4. Not bad, but the audience was slightly down from before. TNA Impact, with all the hype, with all the bells and whistles that they had, and this is coming from a TNA fan. No, I take that back. I'm in favor of competition. And I thought that TNA actually delivered a pretty quality show. I really did. But with all of the talent on that roster, with all of the established names, plus the young talent, plus all the knockouts and everything like that, upgraded production values and everything like that, they managed to go down from a Thursday night rating, getting a 1.0. 1.0. So I'm not going to say that this is an embarrassment for TNA, because, you know what, it's their first night going head-to-head. And that's one thing that I want to stress, too, is that they went head-to-head, one-on-one with Raw. This wasn't an Impact where it went 8-10 and then Raw was 9-11. This was straight up 9-11, both times, both on Spike TV and on USA. And I will admit, I spent the most of the night watching Impact. I spent the most time out of those 2 hours watching Impact, and I thought that pretty much, with the exception of a few things here and there, I thought it was a pretty good show. I thought that the WWE show was kind of flat. The crowd wasn't necessarily into everything like the TNA crowd was. Now, of course, the TNA crowd might have been, you know, coached a little bit, or they might have had plans, which I'm not surprised if that was the case. But the crowd seemed a lot more livelier, a better atmosphere. And I thought that, for the most part, TNA delivered the better product. But they got this 0.0 rating. I think that what you also have to look at, though, is that TNA, the one bright spot about this 1.0 rating is that TNA actually took out some of the ratings in the key 18 to 29 demographic, I believe it was. They took some of that audience away from Raw, and I think that in their case, that kind of gives TNA something to brag about. I mean, of course, this is probably not the biggest thing in the world when your competition has three times the audience you do, but I think that it's respectable, or it's worth noting at least, that TNA did take a chunk out of the WWE's probably biggest ratings market that they're trying to get. So there's that. I guess let's go down, talk about Impact. Of course, Impact started, they were having this whole surprise with the first 5 minutes. Basically, the hook was that Hulk Hogan and the Bandits came out to start the show, and they were in the ring gear. So they were apparently about to just have the main event there, the first segment, which was smart. They really didn't have any intention on trying to give away the main event in the first segment. I don't think that was the case at all. But what they ended up doing was they bookended the show. They started with Hogan and Flair and AJ and Abyss, and they ended it with those same people, plus a couple more. What they did, Hulk Hogan and Abyss came out for a promo. Hogan was putting over TNA and calling it the biggest night in TNA history, like they do every single month on pay-per-view, and every single time that there's a supposed big episode of Impact, they always say that. But in this case, it was the biggest night in TNA history up to that point. And he comes out to the ring, and he, you know, he comes out, cuts the promo, and he tries to put over TNA, and he's saying, you know, Flair and AJ, get your butts out here, so let's do this thing. Let's, you know, let's get to it. So Flair and AJ come out, and the match begins. The match begins, and within seconds, the lights go out. It's totally dark in the Impact Zone. No lights. Nothing. The lights come back on. You see the man they call Sting. Sting returning to TNA once again. And he has a bat in the hand. And, you know, one would naturally assume that he would just attack old Nemesis Flair and AJ Styles. But he attacks Hulk Hogan in Abyss. So there was a very, very, very nice heel turn by Sting. And I think that for why he's the MVP of the night, just based on his performance in this segment and a couple segments throughout the show. Sting, I'll admit, I'm not the biggest fan of Sting. I'm really not. But, you know, he means a lot to a lot of fans, you know, especially old school fans. And I know that when I was in WCW, I was a pretty Sting mark. Back when it came to, it had to be 1997, all throughout 97, I think it was like the summer, is when they really started to build towards Hogan against Sting to the clash at the end of the year at Starrcade. And by that point, I was just a huge mark for Sting. And I stayed watching. He was one of my favorites during the dying days of WCW through 97, 98. 99, 2000 was eh, but I never, ever stopped being a fan of his. When he came to TNA, I was one of the fans who was excited all throughout his run, and, you know, I thought that while he got the title a little bit, I mean, he would win the title at a TNA show Bound for Glory every single year, and I think it was like 3 years straight where he won it just every single year. And to a point, it got very, very redundant, but I still respect what he could do in the ring, considering how old he is, because he's in his 50s, I believe, now, at least. But he could still move well, and I think that when used right, and we're talking about TNA Creative and Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara, that's not necessarily a given, but when booked correctly, I think that he can add a lot to the program, which is what he did last night. In the next set, yes, Sting once again run into Dixie Carter, TNA president, who, by the way, you know what? Let me do a sidebar right in here. Just let me stick a pin there. Dixie Carter got a lot of camera time last night. I don't know why. She's the company president, which, I mean, just in the intro shot in the Impact Zone, she got a lot of FaceTime, a lot of FaceTime for just no reason, because I think that the last time we actually saw her on camera, I'm really trying to think, the only time that I really remember her recently being on camera was in front of the camera with an interview with Mike Tenay that aired on Impact about Sting, which was months ago, like right after Bound for Glory. But tonight, she got a lot of FaceTime, and she even made a match after Sting ran into her in the background and Dixie Carter trying to, you know, trying to calm him down and ask what the deal was, you know, because Hogan and Abyss were attacked by the man called Sting. You know, he was like, he's the ultimate, he's the penultimate face for TNA. And Carter was pushed back and held back, like just pushed up, not quite slammed, but pushed back up against the wall by Sting. And Dixie didn't like that. She seemed pretty mad and conflicted a little bit. So she, in a segment with TNA backstage interview, Jeremy Borash, said that Sting will be going up against a mystery opponent. So, you know, that was okay. I knew, you know, just like we probably all knew, who the mystery opponent was going to be. It was obviously going to be Rob Van Dam. And, you know, that was okay hype for what it was. Okay hype for what it was. Sting, like I said, I'll have a little bit more on him and what he did later on after this match with this so-called mystery opponent. By the way, if you want to go ahead and join me on the show, you can go ahead and call me up at area code 646-915-9116. Once again, that number is area code 646-915-9116. Once again, I'm riding solo tonight because Justin Time is in parts unknown. So, good friend, Jake Gorgeous. So, if you're out there on the Block Talk Radio network, go ahead and call us up. Call me up. 646-915-9116 is the number. Abyss, you know, who's just been totally I don't want to say dehumanized, but his character has just degenerated. It has devolved into just a weird crybaby slash monster slash 10-year-old kid type character where he's supposedly a monster, yet at the same time, he's supposed to be this follower of Hulk Hogan and his tag team partner. It's just a weird dynamic. I don't like his character at all, but he was shown in the back screaming, "Why Sting, why? Why Sting, why? Blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah." Another person who got a lot of FaceTime last night, a lot of FaceTime, in addition to Dixie Carter, was Brooke Hogan. And contrary to what I'm reading on the internet, I actually like Brooke's performance. While I don't want her to become a regular character, a regular on-air character every single week, she was really, really good pleading with her father Hulk to, you know, stay out of the ring and not wrestle because, you know, it's been well documented. I read his book in like 3 days, and you could see him just in a you could see him move around in the ring and see him in backstage segments on Impact that he could barely get around just walking. It hurts for him to sit down and get up out of a chair. So, by all intents and purposes, Hulk Hogan should not be wrestling at all. And I think that Brooke, you know, did a very, very nice job acting, pleading with her father to not wrestle. Of course, it didn't work because we have a main event, but I think that Brooke was very, very, very convincing in her role here. Next up, one of my favorite parts of the show, Kazarian. Kazarian was he made his way down to the ring, and he actually cut a promo about the X Division. He says, let's see. I'm going to pull this quote right from the Pro Wrestling Torch, PWTorch.com, by the way, for all your wrestling needs. That as well as Pro Wrestling Net with Jason Powell, those two websites where I get all of my official news from. None of those other, you know, BS rumor mill websites. But the Torch and ProWrestling.net, those two sites are where you need to go to get all your wrestling news. But I'm going to take this quote right from there. Kazarian said, quote, "Let the warriors of the X Division lead us into battle." Right after that, editor Wade Keller in his Torch TV Impact coverage said, what exactly are they leading, he said leading them into battle. battle against whom? Shouldn't, from a storyline standpoint, the battle be between two guys or three guys or four guys or however many guys there are in a match in the entire division gunning for the X Division championship? I don't understand how the X Division is somehow, you know, like a force in TNA that you're supposed to just catapult within the terms of the storyline that is going to just catapult TNA into the next level. Well, I do think that their brand of wrestling, their exciting brand of wrestling, can and will, if properly promoted, take them to the next plateau, bringing something new, being an alternative to what WWE is offering. I think that they can be a real juggernaut as far as in-ring action is concerned, probably only second on a somewhat national scale to Ring of Honor. But in terms of a storyline, why would Kazarian say something like, let the warriors of the X Division lead us into battle. Battle against whom? You should be battling each other for the X Division championship. Well, Daniels came down, and he had a little bit more to say about that. He said that he shouldn't be a person that he shouldn't we have a caller on the line right now. I'm going to get to you in a second. Oh, it's the cars. I'll get to you in a second, man. But I think that I'm sorry. Daniels came down and he said that he's going to, that he lays claim to the X Division title because, you know, he was there before anybody. He said that he was X Division 10 years before the term X Division was even coined and popularized, which is very, very, very true. Style was of a pioneer style. We had never really seen anything like that on the independent scene. But then, of course, after that, Doug Williams, who, by the way, was the guy that got squashed by the rookie Rob Terry a few days back on the Thursday night edition of Impact. Give me a break on that. But he came down wearing the X Division Championship and said, hey, I'm the X Division Champion. You want this title, you got to go through me. You want to lead these soldiers into the proverbial battle. You have to go through Doug Williams to claim that championship. Doug Williams trying to put the belt all over as much as possible, but at this point, this belt means so little that nobody really cares, and it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of in-ring wrestling, which I know that Vince Russo does not like, but it's going to take a lot of in-ring wrestling to remedy the X Division at this particular point. But these guys are in the ring, arguing and stuff, and they're all carrying on, and eventually, Eric Bischoff came out and said, hey, you want to settle this? I'll tell you what. We'll throw you in a three-way X Division Championship match. Doug Williams, Kazarian, and Daniels. And I'm going to tell you, man, this right here was a very, very good match. 7 minutes, in-ring time, and for TNA, that's pretty good. It was a nice showcase for TNA and their X Division, delivering in-ring action. If they could only do more than 7 minutes on a given match featuring this division or the Knockout division or some of their better heavyweight workers, then I think that they can really truly be an alternative. But unfortunately, because since this is so rare, things like this match for even really a paltry 7 minutes stand out as a highlight of the night. Very, very good matchups. Very good matchups. I would actually go out of your way to check that one out. Innovative spots. Very good match. Doug Williams came out of that one the victor. Williams retains the X Division Championship. But after that, Shannon Moore charged the ring, and Tanay said that he hadn't seen him since the big January 4th show. He cleared the ring of Williams, and Bischoff stepped out once again and said that Shannon Moore would be his challenger at Destination X. So, Shannon Moore is a pretty good hand, I guess, you know, doesn't suck. I guess he's part of a package deal. If you want Jeff Hardy, that's fine, but you got to take Shannon Moore. Shannon isn't that bad where he would be a deal breaker. So, you know, it should be an okay match between Doug Williams and Shannon Moore, who's back in his punk little gimmick wardrobe and all that good stuff. So let's see how that turns out. Destination X coming up on March 21st. We are a little bit over, a little bit under a half hour into the show, and we have our first caller, Dakaris. Dakaris, man, how's it going tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good.
So what'd you think of the Monday Night Wars last night, man?
Oh, the Monday Night War last night? Oh, personally, oh, TNA beat WWE last night by a mile.
Now, why do you say that? I mean, because I've read that it seemed like while TNA brought out all of their surprises and had a lot of action, it was a very action-packed show, it seemed like just a regular, typical, old, run-of-the-mill WWE show. So what, in your eyes, propelled TNA over WWE in the Monday Night War last night?
Oh, what propelled it? Pretty much from, like you said, the X Division title match and stuff, and on especially the restart of the main event and stuff. It wasn't that bad as I thought it would be. It was like Hogan and Flair beating the hell out of each other. I know blood and all. I was like, wow. And then a lot of stuff. It was just because I kept switching the channels back and forth. Like once TNA like had a match and stuff, and like look what WWE's doing. Like people still talking and stuff. Like they ain't showing enough action. I mean, you know most of. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm disagreeing with you, man. Go on ahead.
Okay. Even though most of the promos were good in WWE, but still, it's just like, come on, I want to see more stuff now, because I just first thought, WWE kind of dropped the ball last night.
So. Well, see, here's the thing. They dropped the ball last night, but when you compare last night, you know, where it was a live TNA show, up against the Raw, where it had Chris Angel not really going to draw too many wrestling fans or take away that many wrestling fans from the TNA products. Next week, you're going to have the traditional hardcore wrestling fan as well as the casual fan, because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be the guest host on Raw next week. So, you know, it seems like they kind of threw TNA a lob, a softball to see what kind of show that they can produce rather unopposed as far as WWE is concerned. And then when you compare that to next week, it's like you have pretty much, outside of The Rock, the heaviest hitter you have is Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I'm calling it, Raw is going to pass a 4.0 next week. And TNA is going to get like a dreadful like 0.7 rating. That's what I'm calling. What do you expect out of Raw and Impact as far as the ratings and just overall excitement next week?
Oh, next week, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're pretty much right. Because I'm like, Raw pretty much going to rebound next week. Because of Stone Cold. And I'm not going to miss Stone Cold, man. Especially my father either, so. So I know we both gonna be glued to Raw next week. So,
okay. Would you consider yourself a TNA fan?
Oh yeah, yes.
See now, this is why I want to ask you. Okay, you are a TNA fan, yet your eyes are gonna be glued to Raw next week. What if you could just give an approximation? Did you spend the majority of your time watching Impact or Raw? I know you switched back and forth, but just overall, which program did you watch for the most part?
I watched the most part was Impact because all the surprises and stuff. I didn't want to miss anything.
Now, the question that I want to ask you is that, okay, they have a ton of surprises, but this is their first show every week on a Monday night. So they're going to come to a point where they're going to run out of surprises. Do you think that a TNA show on Monday nights can sustain your attention over Raw for 2 hours head-to-head?
Oh, it depends what's going on to me. Yeah, if it's something good, then I'll watch it. But if it's not, then I'll just switch back to Raw. So,
what did you think of the Sting heel turn last night?
Oh, what did you say?
What did you think of the Sting heel turn last night and the debut of Rob Van Dam last night?
Oh, the Sting heel Sting heel turn last night, man, that to me was the surprise of the evening. I know to me, because I did not see that coming, because I was expecting like Sting just to beat up Styles before, and then he turned on Hogan and Abyss, and then I actually kind of liked it, because I was like, it was just like Sting got his edge back, I guess. I know, he got his edge back. So I'm like, and it was shocking, too. The fans were booing the crap out of him, which I never thought would happen. I'm just like, man, this heel turn is going to be interesting with Sting. So, RVD's debut, thanks to Hogan, he kind of spoiled it for me and the fans last night, because I was like, yeah, I know RVD's going to. But what surprised me was, like, after, like, when he kicked him and then did the Rolling Thunder, beat Sting in a couple seconds, that's what surprised me. I was like, what? And then the Sting beat the crap out of RVD and Hogan, which I enjoyed.
See, here's the thing. I personally like Sting's heel turn against Hogan and Abyss. He definitely got his heat back after the loss to RVD in like 10 seconds. But the problem is that he got his heat back against Rob Van Dam. I mean, it's one thing if you send a guy like, I don't know, a guy in this thing was going to suck because I actually like him, but Homicide. If you send, you know, a guy who's not that high on TNA's priority list right now and have Sting, you know, squash him and beat him up, then fine. But if you take a back continually to Rob Van Dam, who is your latest and close to Jeff Hardy, your hottest recent acquisition, I mean, what's the point? What's the point of bringing him in and having him go over so strong in 10 seconds to where Sting beats him up for 5 minutes? That part I don't get.
Yeah, I'm like...
Anyway, man, you have anything else to add, brother?
I wanted to talk about SmackDown last Friday, because I need to start talking about SmackDown more since now that TNA and Raw are both on Monday. So, SmackDown last week. What I liked last week on SmackDown was John Morrison, R-Truth winning the number one contender spot, and I also enjoyed that promo in the beginning with Edge and Show. Yeah, it was pretty good. And I also enjoyed when Edge speared Jericho again towards the end of the night. That was my favorite part. And yeah,
are you there?
Oh yeah, I'm still here.
All right, no, you were talking. I think you got cut off a little bit there, man.
Oh. What I didn't like was what SmackDown was I'm happy that R-Truth and Morrison won, but I wish they would have made the tag title match a fatal four so all the teams would have got a chance. But
see, I think you just made an unintentional funny. Because you said you wish that there was a fatal four-way so that all of the tag teams could be in it. And the sad part of it is that, and that's probably true, is that there's only, like, four teams in the WWE. I mean, when you think of the Big Show, Crime Time, the Hard Dynasty, and you have really this makeshift team of John Morrison and R-Truth, I'm not counting Legacy, because I think they're built in with this program with Randy Orton. But literally, that's all the teams spread across two brands, just five teams, and I think that's just pathetic. But the way I see it is that I'm happy to see the tag team titles defended at a WrestleMania, and I think that, or I at least hope that they don't go the route of last year where they defended it on like the pre-show. That won't give any rub or any shine to those belts. I think that if they have it on, even if it starts the show, I'm fine with that. As long as the belts get on pay-per-view, I'm totally fine with that. Now, we're less than 3 weeks out, and we have 7 matches from WrestleMania. What do you think of the card so far? I think they might add 1, maybe 2 matches more to this card. What do you think of this card in general, man?
Oh, it's looking pretty good. And one more thing. With the Money in the Bank, the last qualifying match on Raw, I was surprised that they didn't give Kofi Kingston the last spot. I was surprised they gave it to Evan Bourne. Nothing against him, but I just thought Kofi Kingston should have got the last spot. I don't know what's going on. It's just like, why is he not on the WrestleMania card? I wonder what they're gonna do with him. I kind of should have smelled fishy when he was on Superstars last week. You know, he shouldn't have been.
Well, true, but the World Heavyweight Champion Chris Jericho was on Superstars. I think not this past week, but the week before. So, I mean, I think that Superstars now is just kind of a random occurrence. Yeah, normally it's already mid-carders on that show, but you know, sometimes they might want to spice that up, you know, spice the show up with some more higher profile stars on the show. But you know what? I didn't even realize that Kofi Kingston was off of this card. I just naturally assumed that he was going to be in Money in the Bank, but they did fill that 8th spot last night, and Kofi Kingston's not in it. That's pretty sad. If it was up to me, I mean, when you go down the list of superstars that are currently on the WrestleMania 26 card, Triple H, Sheamus, The Miz, Big Show, John Morrison, R-Truth, Bret Hart, Vince McMahon, MVP, Matt Hardy, Evan Bourne, Jack Swagger, Shelton Benjamin, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, Christian, Batista, John Cena, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Edge, and Chris Jericho. I don't really see anybody here who doesn't really fit, with the exception of maybe Evan Bourne, maybe Dolph Ziggler, and I'm saying this because I like both of their work. I love it, but you know, Evan Bourne gets jobbed out every week. Dolph Ziggler hasn't won a match since like September, and those two both get in the Money in the Bank, while Kofi Kingston, who had that awesome Madison Square Garden moment where he jumped onto Randy Orton last, I think it was like November or December.
Yeah, it was November, yeah.
Yeah. So he did that, and then now he's not good enough to be on the card at all. I never expected him to, you know, to get a one-on-one match, but at least put him in Money in the Bank. Now, we're still unsure about what's going to happen with Legacy, with Cody Rhodes, Teddy DiBiase, and Randy Orton. Just an idea. Could you foresee, you know, an uneasy alliance, just at least for one night, where it's Legacy, Cody Rhodes, and Teddy DiBiase against Randy Orton, tagging with Kofi Kingston? Could you see that?
What, with Kofi Kingston? Oh, teaming up with Legacy?
It's not likely, but I don't understand why they would leave him off the card.
I'm not sure, but I'm like, hey, as long as Kofi gets on the card, I'm all good. I know somehow.
Yeah. All right, man. We gotta move on to the next segment, man. But if you got anything else for us tonight?
Oh no, that's all I wanted to say. Yeah.
All right, man. Go ahead and call back next week, and you know what? do me a favor. Keep sending your personal reviews to our email at atomicdrop@myway.com for your thoughts on Next and SmackDown and TNA and WWE if you want. All right, man?
All right. I'll do that, man. I will.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, cars right there on the line. If you want to go ahead and call us up, we have about 19 minutes left to go on the show. You can call us up at area code 646-915-9116. Hook up with us on the phone zone. Yeah, that was pretty lame, but it's okay. 646-915-9116. It was 24 hours removed from the Monday Night Wars. You can go ahead and chat it up with us. Or if you don't want to call on the phone and talk to me in person, that's fine. I understand. Girls ignore me all the time. That's totally okay. You can go ahead and send us an email, just like the cars does, at atomicdrop@myway.com. And speak of the devil, the guy leaves me alone for 41 minutes, and now he calls me up right now. Ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Atomic Drop Show, my good buddy, my good old partner crime, just how's it going tonight, buddy?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome yet to another edition of the Atomic Drop Show. I am your charming, colorful, and yet oh-so-beautiful co-host, Justin Time. And alongside me, all the way out in sunny California, where the sun never stops shining, is my co-host, Kyle Cruz. Kyle, good evening to you.
So I'm going to just totally no-sell that.
What?
Because... no, not at all. You are right on time. You know what? It's just the top of the hour, and you are right on time, dude.
Right on time.
You tune in about 17 minutes left to go on the show.
Perfect. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, compared to when you normally start on time. But then again, at least you showed up, so. Good.
That's right. So, what have I missed?
What have you missed? Well, you know, We took a call and we were discussing the Monday Night Wars, TNA, and WWE. I guess what I got to ask you first, man, what did you think of the two programs going head to head in this so-called war, which is, I mean, in my estimation, it wasn't much of a war at all. But what did you think of TNA against WWE for the first time on a regular basis last night?
I will admit I did watch some TNA.
Well, good.
For about a grand total of 5 minutes throughout the course of channel surfing with my alliances and loyalty over to WWE.
Now it all depends on what 5 minutes you saw.
I'll break it down.
It was like 30 seconds here, a minute there, 2 minutes here. 15 seconds later, so what did you see on TNA?
Well, I'll break it down for you. The first time I turned it on, I saw, Hogan get bloodied with Abyss, like, pounding a wall. Then I flipped back, and then I turned it back to see the beautiful people get a champagne bath. Then I flipped it back, and then I flipped it back to see Ric Flair get bloodied. And then I said, yep, we're back in 1997. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels back on WWE or F, and then we got Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan going at it once more. I mean, it's like, I just stepped back and, God, 10, 11 years ago, and you know what? I was in high school then. I said, I got to do my biology homework before this is over.
Well, next week you're going to go through another round of deja vu because you're going to have all those people plus one so-called Steve Austin guest hosting Raw next week. And one thing that I'm curious to see is, you know, how they're going to pull off Austin in this PG era. I don't know if the middle finger is going to fly very well on WWE TV.
That is up to one Vinnie Mac. For the most part, because I have no idea as well as how well that will be played out.
So we pretty much went through TNA, you know, for the most part. I knew that you would eventually call in, so I left all of the WWE talk to you. So you know, your overall impressions on just what happened on Monday Night Raw with all of the the talking, because there wasn't a lot of wrestling action at all on both shows, especially Raw. But what did you think of Raw's showing last night?
I would 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10.
Six.
Mostly because they were more hyping WrestleMania than anything, because they probably figured the file next week, which is the WrestleMania main event rewind, which should be epic, which I am looking more forward to. So I believe that they're pretty much getting all the talking done now, so then they can just have the main event show next week, so then they'll get more people hyped up for WrestleMania the following week.
That's very, very, very true. I don't know when you called on to join the show, but, you know, Dakar's brought up to my attention that, okay, with Evan Bourne taking that final slot in the Money in the Bank ladder match last night, we have no Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania this year. When you can make spots for Evan Bourne, no offense, and a Dolph Ziggler and a Kane, you can't find time for... And R-Truth, by the way. R-Truth. Well, you can find slots for those three, but you can't find spots for Kofi Kingston and, like, Drew McIntyre and a guy like Abraham Washington. You can't get those three guys on a WrestleMania? What's up with that, man?
What's up with that?
He's fired, by the way.
Yes. Well, we all agreed that before he would be future and endeavored out, but back to the point at hand. I don't know. I mean, I don't see him in any capacity at WrestleMania right now. I mean, he's just there. I mean, same like, I don't know. I mean, same with like Jimmy Wang Yang. I mean, they can't really find anything for him either. I mean, they're trying to find spots for all these people, and they just have such an epic roster of wrestlers that you just can't find time to place everybody where they need to be properly. Because
well,
right now they're trying to hype up.
I was obviously just kidding about the whole Abraham Washington thing. But when you have, I mean, and to a certain extent, Drew McIntyre, fine, I can swallow that a little bit, even though Kane should have been replaced by McIntyre in the Money in the Bank, but fine, I'll roll with that. But when you have Kofi Kingston, a guy who had that great MSG moment back in November, had that really hot feud, what some could say, with the exception of Michael's Undertaker one last year, could have been the feud of the year. You don't find a spot for him at WrestleMania, even if it is part of a multi-man, eight-man Money in the Bank. I failed to see what WWE was thinking, if they even were thinking, because Kofi Kingston is one of their top three stars, top three young stars that I think that could have a bright future, and when he's not on...
Wait a minute. Who are the top three?
Sheamus, Kofi Kingston, I'm doing this based off of just where they could be in 5 years, The Miz.
Okay. I was going to say Legacy and then Jack Swagger.
I wouldn't have Cody Rhodes take one of the spots. I think that as soon as he turns heel, turns a single star, he'll just be a fixture in the Intercontinental / U.S. title hunt if he does that high. I don't see him becoming a main eventer like Kofi, like Sheamus already is, and like The Miz is going to be. So that's why I said my top three. My top five will probably include Ted DiBiase and Jack Swagger. Cody Rhodes is probably like number eight, and that's because there's nobody else left.
Will that include any of the NXT guys in there or no?
No.
Nope? Okay.
No, if it included NXT guys, I think Daniel Bryan could be a star. He probably won't be top five as far as main eventing anything because of his size. I think David Utunga, our truth guy, can be a huge star. He would probably be top five at least in WWE's mind as far as who they want to push within the next 5 to 10 years. Other than that, either the guys are just too small, or they just have a weird, awkward gimmick, or they just can't cut promos. So I don't really see a ton of potential, main event potential, at least for a lot of these guys.
All right. What did you think of Chris Angel?
I'll admit, for the majority of the night, the cable stayed on Impact, and I switched over to Raw like every 2 minutes or so. And whenever there was a Chris Angel segment on, I always turned it back to Impact. The one time that I didn't switch away during a Chris Angel segment was because Impact was on a commercial, and it was where Chris Angel and Santino were in the back, and they did that whole knife under a cup thing, and that seemed pretty stupid to me. And I also saw the bit in the back with Chris Angel and William Regal and Skip Sheffield. But
that was actually kind of funny. Anything with William Regal in it is pretty much pure comedy gold.
I'm surprised you didn't include Santino in that little bunch, too.
Well, yes, agreed. I'll throw him in there, too, as well.
Glad to hear that.
So I got to ask you, have you been commenting on this show ever since I just called in?
Have I been bombing since you called in? Yes, I was just absolutely perfect before you called in.
See, because I wanted to make sure and know that you need me.
You know what? I will not attest to how good or bad that I did for like the first 40 minutes of the show. I'm going to let it, I'll let the people decide how good or bad it was. But I'll just put it to you like this. It's always good to have somebody to bounce conversation off of, and you're one of the best people that I've heard, especially done this with. So, I mean, not saying that I've done this with a lot of people, but no, you are a great partner. So I'll just leave it at that. I won't say that I sucked, but I will say that it's a great thing to have you on the show right now. That's all I'll say.
Well, thank you very, very much. I mean, that is greatly appreciated. I mean, I wouldn't be able to host the show myself.
Yeah, I really have to give credit, and I didn't do this earlier on at the beginning of the show, but I meant to. Todd Orndorff from the Pro Wrestling Hour does this show every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, and he goes for an hour all by himself, and I called in at the ending part of the show last weekend. He's a guy that can, you know, that knows the stuff, and he goes like an hour long, and so I got to hand it to him because he does this every week, and I could barely do it for 40 minutes, so big ups to him. And also the guy's Steel Cage Radio. You can check him out, steelcageradio.com, too. But, yeah, takes a lot. Credit
not
to
a
him.
Problem.
And,
not a problem.
All that. So, there you go.
I mean, I just feel honored and privileged to do a show with such great talent as yourself and have our famous Atomic Drop Bombers come in here to help host the show as well.
Yeah. You know. It's certainly a, what's the word I'm looking for? Justin, help me out. It's
appreciation.
Yeah, I'm appreciating because that's who. It's a communal effort here on the Atomic Drop Show, and there is much appreciation for your loyalty, all you listeners out there, who, by the way, a lot of you guys listen to the archive, which is unbelievable. So thank you for listening to the archive. And once again, just in case you're listening to the archive and you don't know what time we come on every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, blogradio.com/theatomicdropshow. If you don't want to call us up, it's fine. Go ahead and drop us an email, atomicdropmyway.com. Sorry, I'm done plugging away.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we got to give out our big props even to our friends over at steelcageradio.com.
Love those guys. I'm not sure when the next show is, but, you know, they always put on quality stuff going down. All of the happenings going on the independent circuit, those guys are awesome. So check those out, steelcageradio.com.
So, yeah, is there anything else that we need to talk about with our 6 minutes remaining?
Yes. So I hope that you came in prepared because we're a few weeks away to WrestleMania, and we're still on our top five WrestleMania matches of all time. I'll tell you what. I will cut you some slack, and I'll go first.
Okay.
My number three greatest WrestleMania match of all time comes from WrestleMania 24. And I think that this is the second of three matches that involve Shawn Michaels. Something tells me that this probably won't be the last on the list either. Shawn Michaels retiring, quote unquote, retiring Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. My top three are so close, but this just got edged out by the top two. This was an unbelievable match here. It went like 20 minutes and 23 seconds. Shawn Michaels pulled out Flair's best match up to that point. It's still, to this day, even after last night, his best match in close to 5 to 7 years. Shawn Michaels knows how to bring out the best in anybody, and Shawn Michaels just had an amazing, heartfelt encounter with Ric Flair. I watched the match, and, you know, at the very end, I'm not afraid to admit it, choked up a little bit. I'm a man, though. I choked up a little bit. It was that good of a match and that much heartfelt emotion. And then, of course, the next night, they had the farewell for Flair as well. On the Saturday, they had Flair going out into the Hall of Fame. Just a great weekend for Flair that was pretty much tarnished after last night on Impact. But I think that just overall, that whole weekend culminating with the match did a lot to, that was my number three WrestleMania match all time. 75
well,
seconds,
number,
man.
My number three match would have to be Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17, I believe it was, or 18.
18.
Because that's been a match that like everybody's been waiting for since, like, all eternity since WCW was around and WWE, and they wanted to see who was perhaps the biggest star combined the two. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that that should be number three because it was like, I mean, we've seen Macho Man and Hogan go at it as the two mega powers, so this is like the two biggest stars in the professional wrestling during that point in time of their life. And I mean, there can't be anything bigger than that, and just the feeling and the electricity seeing it from the crowd, it light up and pop. Was just by far the most, like, awe-inspiring moments ever.
No doubt. Probably a top 10 for me as well, but we're closing out on the final 15 seconds. I hope you enjoyed the Monday Night Wars last night. It continues next week. Who knows what's going on TNA Impact. But next week on Raw, Stone Cold Steve Austin for Just in Time. Kyle Cruz.
See ya.
Peace.
Got no fear, though, down on the bottom. All right. Let's end this.